This episode of Talk of the Devils is sponsored once more by Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform helping you sell at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit 1 million orders phase. Yep, Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling ETH style turtleneck sweaters or blueprints for brand new stadiums, Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Plus, you can sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. And what's more, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 support is there to help your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Now, because you listen to Talk of the Devils, you can sign up for our $1 a month trial period at shopify.com/reddevils, all in lowercase without any spaces. So go to shopify.com/reddevils to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, that's shopify.com/reddevils.
The Athletic.
This is Talk of the Devils, the Athletics podcast dedicated to Manchester United. I'm in my basement in Blighty, but far more excitingly, Andy Mitten and Laurie Whitwell are buddied up at Real Betis. We're going to speak about Manchester United's second leg victory that saw them through to the quarterfinals in Spain. We'll also preview another cup knockout tie that's coming up this weekend and round up the latest Manchester United news. But most importantly, what on earth have you two been up to? I've been waiting here for half an hour.
Well, can I start, just because I thought that Andy Mitten had got the most Andy Mitten I'd ever seen before the game, which is that, you know, I'm arriving at the stadium, there's a big crowd.
Taking pictures of an empty stadium, was he?
Well, we'll get onto that, actually. We actually had some stadium chat before the game, or during the game as it was going on. And Andy was giving me chapter and verse about the history of this place, which is actually really interesting. I've been won over to his side of stadium.
Makes a change for one of Andy's stories, yeah. Doesn't it?
Stay tuned, listeners, for that one. But I'm taking pictures. I'm arriving sort of the Spanish time, a bit late, I suppose, for the game. But it's all cordoned off. Fans everywhere, Betis fans everywhere. The buses are coming in. No one can get past the police cordon. I'm like, this is going to take a while, and I really need to get in and start doing some work. And who do I see? But Andy Mitten, way beyond the barriers, in the VIP section, filming happily, you know, as you like. And I thought, well, he gets where water can't, Andy Mitten.
I was in the street. Wasn't a VIP section. I was filming ultras in the street.
It was roped off, so I'm calling that a VIP section.
I flashed
section.
My press card and I got through the barrier. Carry on.
But it turns out that isn't the most VIP he's got today.
No. Okay.
Andy, if you care. I mean, I've just laid the red carpet there for you to walk down it.
Last week I interviewed for the Athletic website, available to all good subscribers. Guido Rodriguez, the Argentinian midfielder.
Well done for getting his name right this time.
And we got on well, and he said, give me a shout when you come to Seville. And I don't have his number, so I didn't do that. So after the game in the mix zone, I did my job and spoke to various people, and one of the ladies from Real Betis said, Guido wants to see you. I said, sound? She said, can you wait here in 15 minutes? And I'm thinking, Laurie Whitwell and you, or Guido Rodriguez? So I said, right, I'm going to go and see my mate. She went, well, I've told him you're going to see him now. Why don't you come down to the dressing room? So I got led through to Real Betis' dressing room.
You've done what?
Past all United's kit men. And they're like, what are you doing here? I'm like, just leave me to it, boys. And then the two Betis players who I've interviewed at length, who I've gotten well with, Borja Iglesias, the striker, and Guido were waiting for me. And it was really nice to talk to them. Not as a journalist, not interviewing them, just about what it was like to play against Manchester United, what it was like to go to Old Trafford.
Hang on. You're normalising this now. You've been in the Real Betis dressing room after the game tonight.
I got taken there, and the players came out. And it goes back to July 21 when I went on pre-season tour with them, and the club invited me with them. So I got to know them a bit better than I might otherwise have known them.
Yeah.
So I knew like the kit man, and I knew various people, and I've worked a lot on Real Betis after correctly predicting on this podcast that United would draw them. So, you know, for The Athletic, there's an interview with him, Patrick O'Connell, the guide to Seville, which Laurie's been using today to get himself around the city.
Ooh, which we'll get onto.
I missed out the bit where it said how you get to the Real Betis dressing room, by the way. You left that out, Andy.
It's good though, isn't it?
It's amazing.
I mean, Laurie and I were talking during the match saying we're very lucky to do what we do. Weren't we?
What made me think that was just, we're in this incredible stadium, which we're still in here, by the way. The lights have all gone out.
We're the only people left in it.
I can hear some clattering, but I think we're kind of like the last ones, but hopefully they don't lock us in. Like I got locked in at Goodison Park. I'm still not bitter about that. But it just, the fans were brilliant. You know, like they were absolutely potty for it. Before the game, they were being led on a march with megaphone at the front. And, you know, the 4-1 down in this tie, but clearly Manchester United in town is a big deal. But just the pure passion they had. And they had the song before the game with the scarves all out. And, you know, we're right in front of the fans. And there's like a dad with his young son, must have been 4 or 5. And the son's got his scarf out and they're properly giving it some. And then he just like ruffles his son's hair at the end of it and kind of gives him a kiss on the head. And I'm just like, this is what football's about. Like, you know, father, son, at a game. Fans really connected to the team, loving it and trying to will them on. I mean, Andy told me what they were singing at one point. You know, my Spanish wasn't good enough to pick it up. Yes, we can is what they
were
singing.
They
at the start of the game. And they genuinely believed it. So I was just looking at Andy next to me. It was great watching the match with him, actually, because, you know, obviously he could tell me the Spanish, but also just it was nice to experience it with someone else that was feeling the same things as me, which was, this is really a lot of fun. And obviously we're privileged by being here as journalists, but I think the United fans would also have agreed with us.
Yeah, just to help out anyone, how do you say no you can't in Spanish, Andy?
No se puede.
Andy doesn't know what that is in Spanish because he just gets led everywhere.
Get, yes.
He just gets, you know.
Yeah, careful. Guido might hear you, and Borca as well.
Do you know the bit that I got from that story? Maybe it's the optimist in me. It's just that he actually momentarily said he was going to come and join us rather than go and be in the dressing room. That was his first instinct.
Yeah, it's probably just embellishing. He was
just telling
the story
us that.
At that point, just to
ham
it up a little bit.
Brought him on here. Borja speaks English, and I said to them both, knowing that a couple of Betis directors were listening in, lads, when you move to Manchester in the future, right, give me a and you could see them both just push forward. I just said, all I want now is a verbal agreement that you're never going to join Manchester City or Liverpool Football Club. And obviously they both signed up to that. So I'm just doing the work of the devil.
Absolutely, the work of the Red Devils by the sound of it.
But being serious, making connections with players is important. And I can remember a young lad playing for Zaragoza and watching him and thinking, you've really got something, and speaking to him and interviewing him and finding out about him and travelling to speak to him. And he moved to Athletic Bilbao and his name was Ander Herrera. And when you build a connection with someone like that, and then, you know, not every player you speak to ends up joining Manchester United. I've even had a few who've joined Manchester City, including Manuel Pellegrini. I knew him when he was at Villarreal. And then I blanked him when he moved to England, apart from when he joined West Ham. And then when he moved to Betis, we got our relationship back on track. And he's a very, very interesting man.
I'm glad to hear it, Andy. I'm really pleased. Should we talk about the game of football that broke out in front of you two?
Yeah.
Bit of a sluggish first half from Manchester United, actually, wasn't it? Sorry to bring the sort of tone down a little bit. It was the first time this season that they didn't manage a shot on target in the first 45 minutes of a game. But, Laurie, they made up for it second half, didn't they? It was much better and quite comfortable in the end, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, Ten Hag said afterwards that was the concern in the first half, that they were giving up too many counter-attacks. And it was a case of not picking the right pass in the final third. And there was opportunities there. You know, you had sort of Marcus Rashford on the last defender, Palistri running in behind. And there was that Rashford pass, actually.
Hit the post, didn't it?
Should have done better. Yeah. And so I think that they just needed to be calmer with what they were doing on the ball. They tried to do that. They tried to take the sting out of the game and the fans by taking a bit of time over goal kicks. But in the second half, you know, you could see that the quality started to show. Betis had given, I think, you know, given it their best shot, hadn't they, of trying to get back into the tie. And you just thought, I mean, Rashford missing those two chances, I was like, oh God, it's not going to be his night, is it? I mean, that second one was comically bad, wasn't it? I mean, I'm not sure how far over the bar it was in the end, but it was probably...
I think it's still travelling somewhere just outside of Seville, I think, yeah.
And but then you could see, that, I mean, the way he took that goal was sort of the frustration that, you know, fuelled that kind of strike, I think, and you kind of go, right, wow. I was actually writing a tweet at that point, sort of describing his two misses, and then I was like, I'm glad I didn't hit send before he'd scored. It would have been bad timing.
There'd be a few quote tweets for that one, I think, wouldn't there? Yeah, 27 goals, 9 assists in all competitions now for Marcus Rashford. The goal made him the outright sixth top scorer in Manchester United's European history, going past Ronaldo that we talked about when he'd scored in the first leg, of course. It was a first start for Facundo Pellestri on the right-hand side tonight for Manchester United in the absence of Antony. Just on Antony, before we move it on, we spoke a little bit about him in the last podcast, and Carl developed that into a really revealing article, actually, about Antony's output, primarily in the Premier League with Mark Carey. Go and have a look at that if you want. But this is Erik ten Hag speaking about Pellestri after his first start for United tonight.
I think all the players did very well. Once again, players who come in with us can do the job, give good performance. So we not only have 11 players, we have a squad. And for Pelle, Facundo, yeah, it's great to come in. He had some good comments. He has good performance in training, but yeah, game is different. In the start, he has to come in, but you saw after some minutes he got belief and he had some really good actions. Defending did definitely his job. So I'm really pleased with his performance.
So Erik ten Hag was impressed with Pellestri, Andy. What did you think about how he took his opportunity to start the game?
I really hope I don't contradict Erik ten Hag here, because I wasn't in the press conference, so it's my view against Erik ten Hag's.
And let's see how accurate he can be. He knows. I've got the quotes here.
Okay, all right. I thought he started the game quite slowly, but I thought he grew into it. I was impressed with him. I thought he was neat and tidy. He got clattered into in one challenge. He got booked, yeah?
Yeah, he did.
Soft booking.
He shouldn't have got booked. He got fouled and then got booked for it.
Didn't complain. And I don't think all of his Manchester United teammates would be like that. I was impressed by him. I think it's really important for him to get minutes. I think he's had a good month or so. He's been coming off and making a decent impact. I thought he was really tidy tonight. There was times when he was well out of position and he just kept hold of the ball. Mm. He rode the tackles. I thought he was creative. I said a few weeks ago, he's got something. Mm. He's still very young. He's still got a long way to go to establish himself as a Manchester United player. But I think he's probably at the high point of his Manchester United career. Go on then, tell me that Erik ten Hag said exactly the same as that.
Annoyingly,
almost verbatim.
Yeah, it's quite accurate, isn't it, Ian?
Woo-hoo!
The specific point he was making was this is his first start, so it's more difficult to start a game than it is to kind of come on and make an impact, as he has been doing.
Slow start,
yeah, so there we go. I don't think he's really tidy, but he basically said, yeah, good dribbles, good runs in behind, good crosses. I know that'll be next week. He'll probably nick it off Andy after listening to the
season
pod.
Two, I think, tidy, isn't it? Definitely. One thing that stood out to me tonight, Andy, we've talked a lot about Erik ten Hag's attitude towards rotation. I felt like in the second half he was just being contrary, wasn't he? He kept Casemiro on for the full 90 minutes and the board went up on the hour mark. I saw Jadon Sancho standing there. I saw Marcel Sabitzer standing there and I thought, oh, good old ten Hag, nice and sensible. Get Bruno off, get Casemiro off. Make sure the two of them are available for the quarter final. But no, it was Fred and Rashford. Eventually Bruno Fernandes did go off. He just doesn't like rotating very much, does he? We should know this by now.
He doesn't. I did some stuff for the media in Seville before the game and they were asking me, which team do you think Manchester United will be playing, because there's going to be a lot of changes. I said, I don't think there will be. I said, I think he'll go really strong.
Yeah.
I didn't realise how strong he would go. I wasn't fully expecting Marcus Rashford to start, and Laurie and I were talking about Bruno Fernandes playing again and about the substitutions. I think he got it right, because he got it right, and we're not talking here now about Casemiro or Bruno missing the next game in the next round. Manchester United are thankfully through. I think you've got to look at the bigger picture with this one. 5-1 against a very, very good team from Spain, having knocked out Barcelona in the previous round. Manchester United are really making waves in this competition. It's a difficult place to come here. I don't want to get bogged down in cliches, but you had 54,000 people here tonight and it was bouncing. It was really, really good. And Manchester United had to ride that and did do. And I've seen United lose so many games in Spain. United's record in Spain is actually really poor. Even when United were great, go to places and get beaten in La Coruña, or really struggle in...
Well, before this season, they'd been knocked out by Spanish opposition 5 years in a row, hadn't they?
Exactly. So to come here and to get that result is really good. I think United were much better in the second half. They got control of it. I thought Harry Maguire had a good game. I think you can pick out positives among the changes. Marcus missed a couple of really good chances. One was a howler, one drew a good save. And then he scored that fantastic goal. Job done. Get off. Get yourself ready for Fulham at the weekend. This is Ten Hag's way of management. I know some United fans are going, he's got to rotate, people are getting tired, but he's seeing them every day. He's getting the real-time data as to what zones they're in, how tired they are, how they're feeling. And I know if you speak to a lot of them players who are enjoying playing at United, do you want to sit out the weekend? They say no. They love playing football.
No, bring on Fulham. Absolutely. We'll preview that game a little bit later on. Just last point on the rotation. Bruno Fernandes amazes me, Laurie. 45 matches Manchester United have had this season. He started 42 of them. He came on as a sub in the one where he was left out. The other two games against Charlton and Aston Villa in the Premier League, he was suspended for. So he's literally played every single minute he possibly could. In fact, since the World Cup, he's played 1,957 minutes of a possible 1,980. Is there any concern that he's playing too much? He's been to a World Cup this season as well, either side of all these appearances.
I love that you've come to me for this question, because this is what my piece is on.
Well, there you go, I've given you some stats again. You're very welcome.
You have actually, they're new stats. I've got one stat for you though, Ian.
Go on.
You ready for this one? So, out of all the players in the big five leagues of Europe, Bruno Fernandes has played more minutes this season in all competitions than anybody else.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
So 3,683 minutes it was before tonight. And then the next player was David De Gea, 3,600.
So it's not even an outfield player stat, yeah, then, that's all
mad.
Players.
Yeah, it's goalkeepers as well.
I mean, that is revealing, isn't it?
Looking forward to your piece.
There we go. So you've given
I've
me some
it.
More... you've written it, basically, by the
I've
sound
written it.
And I asked Ten Hag about this afterwards. I didn't give away my little nugget of a stat in the press conference. I just said, how can you keep picking him? You know, what is it about him that allows you to do that? And he just said he's got great energy, he's a brilliant athlete, and as Andy says, he loves playing. And he was really, he went into quite a bit of detail, actually, about the way that he plays. You know, he's very tactically smart, he says, and he allows us to, you know, play different systems that then create overloads in situations that give us chances. So clearly he is somebody that Ten Hag feels that Bruno Fernandes can channel his ideas through him on the pitch, and I think that's why he's playing all the time, because if he doesn't, he probably feels that he can't, his team doesn't, you know, work as well as what he wants it to, and kind of understand the instructions that he's giving them. So he did eventually take him off, didn't he? 68 minutes, I think it was. I was like you, Ian, I was like, how is it not Bruno yet? But
right, well, I get these stats sorted and send them across to Laurie to illuminate his piece tonight. I need to tell you about the offer, don't I? If you're not a subscriber to The Athletic and you want to read Laurie's piece, you can be one for £1.99 a month for 12 months. Just sign up at theathletic.com/ManUnitedPod.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard it right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask me. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is supported by Season 3 of FX's Welcome to Wrexham. Celebrity owners Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds' small-town Welsh football club has finally been promoted into League 2 after 15 seasons in the National League. Dedicated staff and supporters celebrate the city's return to glory while bracing for the newfound challenges that come with being in a higher division. Will Wrexham AFC stand up to the challenges and rise again into League 1? FX's Welcome to Wrexham premieres May 2nd on FX. Stream on Hulu.
Ian, you know, Seville's got like a reputation for being a world-class city for its restaurants.
Yeah.
Do you know what Laurie ordered in a restaurant when he got here yesterday?
Fish and chips?
No fish, just chips. He's got a plate with chips on and another bit of food.
Patatas fritas?
No, they're not even patatas fritas. Ordered chips.
He's so far away from what I actually ordered.
Were chips on your plate?
There were.
Did they take up most of your plate?
Well, yeah. You know,
yes or no?
In scale, yes. But in quality, what I'd ordered was actually a special from the tapas restaurant that we were eating at.
Chips?
It was not chips. It just came with chips. And obviously, I ate the chips. Don't tell my fitness guide.
Chips Bell and Glace? Was it?
No. I don't know what it was called. Well, the restaurant was called Pantanchon. Am I saying that right, Andy?
Pantachon.
Yeah. And it was a special, and it was chicken, bacon, goat's cheese, and caramel. So forget the cocktails. I'm now mixing up interesting ingredients because that's just how I roll. I'm a culture vulture. I don't think it was on Andy's recommendations.
Yeah, it sounds weird.
But it was really nice. Anyway, speaking of food, Andy, what did I see you whip out of your bag like 10 minutes into the game? You know, we're in Spain, a place that you know well, yet you're eating...
a chicken sandwich.
Well, oh, right. I wasn't even mentioning that, but yeah. So Andy thought that he'd had a chicken sandwich from... you know, that they provided for us very nicely in a little...
Oh, yeah, yeah, but a cream lunch. Egg. There's nothing wrong with cream eggs. Cream eggs are lovely.
By the way, right, so Andy's brain is going all over the place here. Right, so the chicken sandwich that he thought was chicken was actually egg, by the way. I mean...
What?
Yeah, it was egg. He was. I literally had to show him that it was egg.
I had chicken. I defo ate chicken. You had egg.
I don't think he did. And then Danny Webber's next to us going, it was egg, you know, anyway. And then Andy's not finished with the egg. He's had a cream egg. What a cream egg? It's not even Easter.
You come to Seville and ordered a plate of chips. You can't tell me anything. You've come to one of the world's great cities for food and ordered a bag of chips. You shouldn't even be allowed to enter into this conversation. I know a lad who goes United, home and away, called George, right? And he's really mistrusting of foreign food.
So he eats cream eggs on away trips, does he?
There's nothing wrong with cream eggs, right? I tell you...
chips.
I did a bit of research today, and I said, just remind me of the food what George would eat in Europe. And the reply is, barely nothing. He only ever used to eat ham or cheese butties, but never ham and cheese butties. And he's never had an egg. So this is a lad who's travelled around the world watching Manchester United, basically thinking that he can only eat exactly the same stuff that he eats in Manchester, which is difficult.
It did make me think, though. Sorry if this is a detour too far for people, but it did make me think, when you come abroad...
You're going there anyway,
like,
mate. So.
I'm sorry, we're here now. Listeners, do you go and eat the local cuisine, or do you just stick to like what you know? Because I had some lovely Sevillan, is that the right phrase?
Yeah.
Cold soup today, which I think is a trademark, and also dry cured tuna.
Gazpacho, yeah.
It wasn't gazpacho, it was called something else.
Cold soup.
Okay. I'm going to Google it and remind everyone at the end of the episode, because I'm sure everyone's waiting with bated breath.
Right, this has got super random, so I'm just going to bring it back to football
Thank
for
you.
A moment, if that's okay, because we need to speculate about where else you might be ordering chips later on this month, because obviously the draw will be taking place on Friday. We're recording this shortly after 9 p.m. on Thursday night. So, another trip to Seville is in the offing, isn't it, with Sevilla? As we speak now, fire and order through. Superb 7-1 victory over Shakhtar. Juventus are through. Okay. Which has a bit of narrative attached to it because Paul Pogba won't be playing in that match, probably. It looks like Leverkusen and Roma, Jose Mourinho's Roma, are all but through. Mm. Arsenal look like they're through. There's obviously the Battle of the Unions to sort out as well. Any preference? You did pretty well last time, Andy, predicting Real Betis. So it's another trip to Seville, is it?
I love this competition, them teams that you mentioned. You see that piece with Rod Thornley we did the other day? He picked out Feyenoord in 2016 as the best atmosphere he'd ever experienced as a Manchester United employee.
Let's go there again then.
I was there that night. It was bordering on frightening, if I'm honest, walking through Rotterdam City Centre. One of the unions. Which unions are in it?
Union Berlin and Union Saint-Gilloise.
Where are they from? Oh, Belgium. The Belgium team.
Yep.
I think Union Berlin would be magnificent. Manchester United have not played in Berlin, if I'm not mistaken, since the team went through there in 1965 when Paddy Crerand got stopped at the Checkpoint Charlie and said that his name was James Bond and he was a spy. And the border officials did not see the funny side of it at all and held the Manchester United team coach up for 1 hour. That's an absolute truth. Berlin would be brilliant.
I don't think Union Back Berlin are going through anyway. As we talk now, they're two goals down in that tie.
Of course,
so
they're still playing. So yeah. who's definitely through then?
Just who I said, if you were listening. Sevilla, right. Feyenoord, Juventus and Manchester United are through, Andy, as well.
Who do you want, Laurie? He wants Burnley so we can get some chips.
Let's say Feyenoord. The appetite's been whetted by this bouncing atmosphere here. So if Rod Thornley's saying that was a great atmosphere, then let's get over there.
Yeah, well, there you go. Crystal balls have been out tonight, so we'll see who Manchester United get on Friday.
Juventus.
You thought that the chat about food was random. Well, what about Julia Roberts? Was she out and about supporting MUFC today, Andy?
Jeez.
I can't believe that I was sat next to The Athletic's official Julia Roberts correspondent. I feel so privileged.
It's a new role, but it suits him.
Right. At 1 p.m. yesterday, I get a request. Would you like to find out what's gone on with Julia Roberts and Manchester United? The inside story. So I have a look and think, there's a couple of people I could ask here. So I asked those people and they...
Richard Gere?
Agreed to speak to me.
Hugh Grant?
So...
George Clooney?
So I wrote the story and it was a bit of fun and I turned it into like celebrity fans, and Manchester United have got quite a few and some of them turn up on pre-seasons, and I pointed out that Curly Watts is a Manchester City fan.
I was loving how much you would have been laughing to yourself.
Yeah,
as you
yeah,
typed
I know. Tell, couldn't you? I know.
Curly Watts, who else? Bernard Manning.
I was thinking as I'm writing it.
I can't remember the other people were. Have a look at the piece if you want to know who Andy picked out as Manchester City's most famous fans.
I was thinking, my editor's going to let this get through and I'm going to get so much stick off Manchester City fans. I got a bit in the Seville Guide this week. I said the Giralda here, the world famous tower, is almost as big as the floodlights at Main Road, City's all ground. And then when I saw it, I'm thinking, I love The Athletic. I absolutely love it.
That was one of my favourite songs as a kid, you know. They've got the biggest floodlights in the
yeah,
league
because
City are a massive club.
Yeah,
loved it.
Yeah, that was
Curly Watts is a celebrity fan. Blue ketchup at the hot dog stands. You can go on, can't you? So, them were the days.
So I sent the piece at 7 p.m. last night. I wake up this morning and I can see it's got a pretty divided reaction. You know, I usually like Andy's stuff, but this is an absolute disgrace.
Can I read the first one?
Andy, it was from a man called Norman who lived in Manchester, actually. Wore glasses, I think. No one will get that unless they watched Corrie about 20 years ago.
The first one I saw was Andy Mitten is a weird man.
Yeah, that'll be a City fan.
I was like, if only they knew, yeah.
Yeah, defensive fair comment, that one.
It doesn't end there, right?
No.
Midway through today, my editor says, the New York Times, who've obviously got a relationship with The Athletic, have put it on their front page, and it's currently like being read and has been read all day by loads of people. And I just got this idea in my head of people in the United States.
Who's
Googling
Curly Watts?
Curly Watts. and that set me off again. It just did. I can't help it. So Julia Roberts is a red. So the line what a lot of people got was, yeah, and Pep Guardiola mentioned it, she had been to Old Trafford. But using investigative journalistic skills, I found out that she'd watched United in 2017, she'd been to two training sessions in 2018, and she'd been to a match as well. I'm chasing up a rumour that she went to Newcastle away on the train with six cans and a hood up. Julia, if you do listen to this podcast, get my number from The Athletic and give me a shout. I'll definitely take you to a game. If there's any songs that you don't know, I'll teach them all to you. Is that fair enough?
That seems fair enough.
It sounds like we're filing with Liz Hurley then, Andy.
Well, I was going to say, she's no Liz Hurley, no? Or is she?
Liz Hurley's too posh to like football, isn't she?
Okay. You could see Julia Roberts in the J-stand, could you?
If Julia Roberts wants to come to a game, she can put any part of the ground. Imagine her stood up in the Stretford end, proper going for it. Why not? She'd enjoy it. She's not going to go home that night, is she, and go, I've had a bad day today. She's going to have a fantastic time. Someone, please get this message to Julia. Come to a game. You'll be looked after. And they're a winning team now. She started supporting United when the team were bobbins.
Proper fan.
So,
yeah.
You know that... So the reason, and I explain this in the piece, she shared an agency with Jose Mourinho.
This is one of the most enthusiastic accounts of one of your pieces I think you've ever given, by the way.
So she turns up in LA in 2018 pre-season, and Jose Mourinho was in a stinking, stinking mood on that pre-season tour, right? I remember driving 70 minutes across LA to go to one of his press conferences and walking out and thinking, how can this man be in charge of Manchester United? Because he clearly does not want to be there. And it was a shame because I really liked him. I'd done a big interview with him the season before. And I just walked out of that press conference with the most negative feeling going into that season. And it was right, because within 3 months, he'd lost his job. Julia thankfully turned up with her son, Finn, who's a big red. He loved Paul Pogba. Don't know how he's doing these days. And Gary Oldman, the actor as well. But there's loads of United fans who are famous, you'd expect.
Do you know what I've just thought, Andy? Where are United going on pre-season tour this summer? You could have this
America.
Reunion. LA?
I can't have a reunion.
Rendezvous
with someone
on Dale Drive.
I've never met.
Fair enough. A union.
I'll have a union with her. Imagine you with Julia Roberts. Hey, love. I eat chips. I used to be a good swimmer.
Right, from Julia to Jim and Jasim. See what I did there?
Oh, very nice.
We've unfortunately got much time to talk about the latest on Manchester United's takeover situation because of just how much we've spoken about Chips and Julia Roberts. We will, of course, give it the necessary airtime in the podcast coming up over the international break. There'll be plenty of time to talk about it. But Laurie, very quickly, there's pieces on The Athletic which are updating the situation, but is there anything more you can bring us?
Yeah, just, I mean, it's quite a developing situation, actually, because yeah, they were there today at Old Trafford. They were pictured, and the piece on The Athletic that Mark Critchley wrote today explains who they were and what their roles are with Sheikh Jassim. So it's his advisors and, you know, people connected to the bid rather than him himself. But then tonight we're told that the meetings went on for 10 hours, which is a long old time at Old Trafford. Described as productive, so information from, you know, Sheikh Jassim's team to Manchester United, information from Manchester United to Sheikh Jassim's team about, you know, the finer details of the club. You know, so obviously the financial results are out every quarter and every year, but this is more about the projected, you know, options and possibilities for Manchester United, you know, stadium renovations, how much it costs to, you know, give player bonuses and contracts and things like that. So I think it was quite, you know, quite a lot of information was actually shared. So yeah, described as positive, and we believe that there's going to be another more detailed bid come in from Sheikh Jassim's team within 10 days. The indicative bid was obviously just that, you know, an indication of what they'd like to bid, but now with more information, you know, they can, I guess, put forward a more structured bid. And then, yeah, Sir Jim Ratcliffe is going to be at Old Trafford tomorrow, so Friday, maybe when you're listening to this. So he's doing it himself, which is an interesting aspect, I suppose, because, you know, he's coming from Nice, you know, the club that he owns as well. So, I mean, we've had Alexander Seferin talk about how UEFA's rules on separation probably will be updated. So maybe, you know, that's an area that isn't as scrutinised as it has been. But, you know, the fact that he owns would own two clubs potentially in European competition if he bought Manchester United. But he himself is going to get the same treatment as Sheikh Jassim's team have had, and yeah, I guess we'll see after that whether it's as productive as they had it. But yeah, it feels like it's, you know, developing, progressing, but yeah, all options still on the table, we believe, you know, because Elliott Group have obviously made their sort of proposal to the Glazers in terms of financing, you know, that kind of, if they wanted to stay. But yeah, there's it sounds like a sort of a day where more happened than we perhaps expected.
Okay, brilliant. Well, if you want to know more, of course, you can go to The Athletic and have a look at the latest articles on the takeover of Manchester United. As Laurie says, it is a developing situation, so there's more and more going to be on there in the coming days. Laurie Whitwell's got his hand in the air.
Well, just because I know it's a really important topic, but the cold soup is called Salmorejo.
Where's it saying?
Salmorejo. Is that
okay?
Just so you know, rather than gazpacho, the big news of the day.
Okay, fair enough. You've updated that as well. There might be more cold soup updates on The Athletic too. Remember, if you're missing out or you feel like you're missing out on this sort of chat, the written form of all this is, of course, on The Athletic. You can sign up now by paying just £1.99 a month for 12 months. Go to theathletic.com/ManUnitedPod.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic.
See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code The Athletic and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Okay, well, before we preview Fulham, I'm really pleased to say that Talk of the Devils has been nominated for the Best Team Podcast at the Sports Podcast Awards. The vote is now open on the awards website, which is sportspodcastgroup.com. All you need to do is go on there, register and vote for us. Don't worry, we will share a link on Twitter about exactly how to vote, but we would really appreciate your votes, of course. It's the first award that we've ever been nominated for, and Laurie Whitwell wants to get some use out of his purple wedding suit. It was purple, wasn't it?
My wedding suit was actually green, but
I do
have a purple suit as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Carl's got purple socks and you've got a purple suit.
What a joke.
I wore a blue suit at the weekend to my mate's wedding.
I don't think blue's quite as radical as green and purple, really. But
you are right, but it's quite a poppy blue. It's not a kind of navy
royal
blue.
Have you got a purple suit, Ian?
Heck no. I've got a black one, a grey one and a navy one. That's
I'll just
about
sit
it.
With you if we go to any ceremonies. Sit down, wear a normal suit, order a normal drink. Carl with his purple socks on, Laurie with his orange suit or whatever he's going to wear.
I had a pink bow tie as well with my blue suit, by the way.
Jeez.
Nice. Well, we would, despite Laurie's choice of fashion, we would really appreciate your votes. So look out for the link on our social media accounts. Right, running out of time a little bit, but we need to preview a small matter of an FA Cup quarter-final this weekend against Fulham at Old Trafford. On to the next one, isn't it? I mean, we've had so many of these games at United just lately. They're just sort of looking after themselves, aren't they? Andy's yawning. He's bored of home draws, aren't you, Andy?
Well, we can't get any more home draws. We've actually extinguished until next season now.
If we get through to the semi-finals, there's one more home game. But yeah, home draws have gone, haven't they?
Yeah, it's gone. The draws have done for this season, and every single chance that Manchester United had to play at Old Trafford, well,
they've taken it.
Has come out in the draw like that.
Yeah.
So Fulham, they've been watched very closely by Manchester United. They weren't perceived to have done well in their last couple of matches. They've had a couple of disappointing results in an otherwise very good season. It's thick and fast. I absolutely love that Manchester United are engaged in all of these competitions. It was a very narrow win, wasn't it? It was the last game before the World Cup when Garnacho got the winner at Fulham at Craven Cottage in front of that stand that's never going to be finished. It's still not finished. Been building it since the 1960s. So, looking forward to it. I'm going to be sat in your seat, Ian, on Sunday.
Oh, yeah, sounds good.
In the telly seat, yeah. I'm going to just do an impression of you. Every time the ball comes in front of me, I'm going to pretend that I'm looking concerned.
Just look really bored. Everyone gives me grief for always looking bored. It's like, I don't know that there's a camera pointing at me. I'm just watching the match. Or technically, I'm not watching the match. I'm working, obviously. There's a slight distinction there. In terms of Fulham, Laurie, they've maybe gone off the boil a little bit. They've had a brilliant season, haven't they? Absolutely. Been one of the surprise packages of this season, although there's been a lot of surprises in the Premier League. Not least the fact that there's 9 teams still fighting against relegation, which just seems absolutely crazy. It's so tight down there. Of course, Fulham aren't one of them. They're doing pretty well. But they've only won 2 of the last 8 matches. Alexander Mitrovic, who's been one of the success stories of their season, hasn't scored for 9 games either. I feel like I'm doing a Southampton stroke Bazunu Karl Anka thing here, but United should be okay, shouldn't they?
I think so. I mean, I watched the highlights of the Arsenal game at Craven Cottage, and they picked them apart, really. I mean, they were obviously 3-0 up inside first half, and it could have been more, and they kind of eased up, didn't they? I don't know how much of that is Arsenal being really good, to be fair.
They miss Polina as well, don't they? He's missed 3 league games this season, and they've lost them all. He's back for this after suspension. But yeah, Arsenal did seem comfortable in that game, didn't they? Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, I suppose that's an interesting one, obviously, Casemiro, you know, conversely being suspended for it. Although, I kind of thought, and I know he started with Fred, and maybe that's just the natural thing, you know, Fred and McTominay again, but Sabitzer, I just thought he came on and did things again, was tidy, kind of sort of mopping up, but also getting forward. So I don't know how he would necessarily fit. I mean, it's kind of the piece that I did actually this week is about that. You know, what is the replacement for Casemiro? And Sabitzer has really similar numbers to him in terms of like tackles, interceptions per game, things like touches on the ball. So he's probably the, I don't know, the most like for like, because Fred's a bit more, you know, combative, isn't he? He's a bit more erratic, I suppose, whereas Sabitzer feels a bit calmer. But yeah, you'd think that they would have enough for them. They're in a, you know, they've obviously responded pretty well to that drubbing against Liverpool, sorry for mentioning it, and you kind of feel that they're still on a decent confidence level, that they should be able to get past Fulham. And he, like I say, you managed to take off the players that needed to come off, didn't they? You know, in Martinez as well as Bruno eventually, Marcus Rashford, and the like. So yeah, I feel like this should be, I mean, they're straight out of here, weren't they? You know, on the flight, they'll be back home, good time. These early kickoffs in Europe are really beneficial to them, because it doesn't mean they get back at 3 a.m. in the morning to Manchester.
No, it gives you two time to go out, and we'll get to that in just a moment. I had a really random thought. Where was Anthony Martial?
He didn't travel, yeah. He trained. He just keeps on not being fit, you know, whatever the reason is. You know, is we've had this repeatedly, haven't we? I mean, Ralf Rangnick got into trouble with him over it in terms of him saying that he wasn't fit, or you know, the medics thinking that maybe he could push himself to be fit. I don't know in this instance what's exactly going on. I haven't made those calls on this one, but that was certainly the case under Ralf Rangnick, and it's been such a long time now, hasn't it? It's a hip problem. But he's training, so like, what's the issue? He can't even come on for 5 minutes, 10 minutes. I mean, it seems very curious.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? We'll obviously wait Ten Hag's latest on that, maybe ahead of the Fulham game. Andy, Laurie, where are you off to then? Come on, let's round it off in the right way. What are you two doing in Seville tonight?
Well, I'm gonna maybe take Andy back to where my hotel is, because it's right by. I don't know, yeah. Well, you know, we are close.
You're not Julia Roberts.
Setas de Sevilla, which I think is in your guide, isn't it?
Yeah, it is in the guide.
So it's the big wooden sculpture.
Glad that you followed it closely.
Well, I came here last summer actually, so I saw it then. But it's literally that amazing landmark is right outside my hotel window, and there's a couple of bars underneath that, so I can get Andy a nice beer, cerveza. And is that what we're doing?
I'm going to refuse that invitation, because I'm going to study Fulham for the weekend. I've just been seeing that Andreas Pereira has started every single Fulham game this season in the Premier League. So that's really interesting. So I'm going to study statistics hard. I'm going to avoid alcohol. And then I'm going to travel tomorrow from Sevilla to Salford, seriously, overland, first to Barcelona by train. And then I'm flying to Salford for the Athletic. So I'll be able to talk about this next week. It's a good story, trust me. I wouldn't be going all that way. Because I'm flying with someone who wants to fly with me on the plane, and he's a really interesting person. You know who it is, don't
Andy's
you?
Andy's Tom, who it is, and I can confirm that he's actually not giving it the Andy Mitten top spin here. It's genuinely pretty interesting.
Yeah. So I'll have a couple of drinks tonight, maybe order a couple of chips, and then away we go. Top city. Wish we could stay longer here.
Well, it sounds like you two have got a lot to look forward to tonight, so I won't keep you any longer. Go and enjoy yourselves. Watch out, Seville. Thank you, Andy. Thank you, Laurie. Thank you for listening at home as well. And we'll see you on the next one after Fulham. Take care. Bye-bye.
The Athletic.